every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian has a ministry. And that ministry is the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a ministry that brings salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a ministry that brings hope through the promise of eternal life. It's a ministry that brings transformation through receiving the grace of God. And that ministry is the ministry of proclaiming, preaching, sharing, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul speaks of here in verse 1. And Paul says, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? This ministry, the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of sharing the gospel, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the important thing that all of us need to understand today is that whether here or on the other side of the world, every believer has this ministry. Every believer. It's not regulated to just missionaries. It's not regulated to just preachers. No, every believer. Every believer, whether here in Charlotte or around the world, has this ministry. The ministry of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what an honor God has given believers to have a ministry. Now think about that for just a moment. God has given you and has given me a ministry. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of talents, a lot of skills. I don't even know what my gift is. Put all of that to the side for just a moment. Because regardless of our differences in gifts, and regardless of our talents and abilities, education or lack thereof, all of us have been given an opportunity. All of us have been given a privilege. And that is a privilege to have a ministry of sharing the gospel. When you and I think about the fact that God allows us, who are broken people, to have a part in the ministry of His gospel, it should overwhelm us with mercy. It should overwhelm us with value. It should overwhelm us with God's purpose on our lives. And that overwhelming feeling that God is merciful, that God values me, that God puts such a purpose on my life that He has given me a ministry is exactly what Paul meant in verse number 7 when he said, look at it there, we have this treasure. What treasure is he speaking of? Is it gold? Is it money? Is it popularity? No, the treasure was ministry. He said, I have this ministry and I treasure it. I treasure this ministry. He treasured the ministry of the gospel. Because of all people, God had given him a ministry. Of all people who was defiled with such sin, who lived such wicked life that not only was against Christianity, but defamed Christianity. Paul said, what an honor that God's mercy was so abundant. What an honor that God put such a value on my little life that He gives me a ministry. And it's like a treasure unto me. I treasure this ministry. I wonder this morning, in your life, is serving God and sharing His gospel something you treasure? Or do you view it as a burden, an undesirable responsibility in your life? I don't want to share the gospel. I don't want to tell people about Jesus. Why do we keep hearing this preached over and over again in our lives that we have this responsibility? It's more of a burden. I'd wish, Pastor, you just quit talking about it. Sad fact is that there are many Christians who do view ministry as an unnecessary burden, a responsibility they didn't ask for, a command that they don't desire, that put pressure on their life. Paul's mindset was totally different. Ministry wasn't a burden. Sharing the gospel wasn't an undesirable responsibility. No, it was something he treasured. And one of the reasons Paul treasured this ministry is because God allowed him to have a ministry, though he was just a jar of clay. That's what his men in verse 7, look at it again. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He's talking about himself. He said, I'm just an earthen vessel. You are just an earthen vessel. That's a jar of clay, an inexpensive jar of clay. But he says, the reason why this is so overwhelming that God has given me this ministry is that he has chosen you and he's chosen me, who are inexpensive jars of clay, to be that which carries the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has not given the responsibility of ministry just to these beautiful, expensive, non-flawed vases. No, he gives it to those of us who are broken, who are scarred, whose lives are messed up, earthen vessels, jars of clay. He says, I want you to be the one to tell your friends and neighbors and the world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, when I think about that, when I think about God wants me, an earthen vessel, a jar of clay that's broken, to share the gospel, he says, wow, what a treasure to me. Why is it that God chooses earthen vessels, jars of clay? Well, he says it in the next part of verse 7. He says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why God chooses you and I, who are broken, inexpensive jars of clay. Because if we had it all together, everybody think the power came from us. But no, he chooses to use us who are broken, who are insignificant, the foolish and unwise of this world. He says, I want you to carry the gospel, because when they see you carrying the gospel and sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel, then they will know that this gospel is of God and it has the power to change their lives. Paul said, we have a ministry, and that ministry is something I treasure. It's something God has given me, and it's something that I'm to be involved in, no matter what your occupation is, no matter from where you draw a paycheck. Every one of us have a ministry. You say, of course, I work the nursery. I teach children's church. I sing in the choir. That's my ministry. No, 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 no. Those are things you do for God through your church. Your ministry is sharing the gospel. That's your ministry. That's my ministry. Pastoring is just what God uses me in the church to do, but it's not my ministry. My ministry is sharing the gospel. And Paul said, we have this ministry. Every one of us. And sometimes in life, people say, well, Pastor, I'm getting older. I don't have the energy, the abilities. I don't know where I fit. I just don't have a ministry anymore. And listen, God has never removed his ministry from your life. Your ministry has always been and will always be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this ministry. And Paul reminds us of some important things about the ministry of sharing the gospel. And let me give these to you quickly this morning. Number one, notice this first statement. Mercy is the motivator for ministry. Mercy is the motivator for ministry. And to be honest, there are other motivations for why people serve in the church. There are other motivations for why people minister to other people. There's the motivation of guilt. That is, that some people serve because they feel guilty if they don't serve. And so the only reason they sing in the choir, work in the nursery, or go on reach, or whatever the case may be, is this idea that they don't want to feel guilty. So they're motivated by guilt rather than the mercy of God. Some are motivated by recognition. They serve and minister only to be recognized, only to be applauded, only to receive the annual I Love My Church award. They don't really care about affecting people's lives precisely without any... No. They want people to know what they're doing, where they're doing it, how they're doing it. They don't want to serve unless they get that round of applause. So their motivation is not mercy. Their motivation is recognition. Some of us today serve and minister because of the motive of convenience. In other words, we only serve, we only minister, we only share the gospel. We only come to church when it's convenient for us to do so. That's our motivation, not commitment. Our motivation is convenience. But in this section of verses, we learn that the only true and genuine motivation for serving the Lord through his church, the only true and genuine motivation for sharing the gospel to the lost, is the motivation of God's mercy on our life. Not guilt, not recognition, not convenience. No, it's God's mercy is why I serve. God's mercy is why I share the gospel. Notice what he said in verse 1, and here's where we get the point. It says, we have this ministry as we have received mercy. Paul says we minister for God because of the mercy of God. His motivation for sharing the gospel was the mercy of God on his life. And we need to be reminded this morning that we have received the forgiveness of Christ. Those of you who name the name of Christ and have by faith received his grace into your heart, you've experienced, you've received forgiveness, you've received love, you've experienced mercy. Therefore, we ought to be motivated to help others know the forgiveness of Christ, to help others know the love of Jesus, to help others know the same mercy in which we have received. That's why Paul would later say in this book, as a matter of fact, we'll study it in chapter 5 in verse 14, he says, the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, it's the love and mercy of Jesus, Paul said, that has given us the motivator of genuine and effective ministry. So we have to ask ourselves the question, why is it that I tell my family about Jesus? Why is it that I invite my coworkers to church? Why is it that I serve and teach and share the gospel? Why would Pastor become a pastor? Why would Matt go to Honduras? Why would we do these things? The only real pure motivation is the mercy of God in our lives. We've experienced the mercy of God. Therefore, we want you to experience the mercy of God. Now, we've experienced the love of Jesus, therefore we want the world to experience the love of Jesus. We've been changed by the grace of God. We want our family to be changed by the grace of God. Paul said we have this ministry, and we have it with the motivation of the mercy of God upon our lives. And here's the problem. Until we fully grasp the love and mercy of God on our lives, we will continue to lack the motivation we need to share his gospel. That's the problem. The problem we often think is what we see on the surface. Well, I just need to tell more. I just need to carry more tracts with me. I just need to go on the monthly reach. That's just the surface result of the root issue. It's not that you need to carry more tracts. It's that you need to appreciate the mercy of God on your life. It's not that you need to carve out more time to go tell other people, your family and others about Jesus. No, it's you need to fully grasp how much Jesus loves you. Until you fully grasp the mercy of God, until you fully grasp the love of God, you will always struggle with telling people about Jesus. It's only until we recognize how much mercy we have, how much love God has for us, that we in return say, we have this ministry and I must share that mercy and love with other people. Mercy is the motivator for ministry. Here's the second statement I want you to see. Number two, we cannot lose heart in the midst of our ministry. We cannot lose heart in the midst of our ministry. Remember, Paul's facing troubled times. And he's not dismissing the fact that he's faced some distractions and disappointments and even a little despair as he serves Christ. He's recognizing that. We're dealing with that. We've talked about it already in chapters 1 and chapters 2. But what Paul is saying here is that regardless of his struggles, he is committed to not losing heart as he ministers for the Lord. Not giving up, not quitting. That's what he means in verse number 1 when he says we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. In other words, we don't quit. We're not going to stop. We're not going to let up. We're not going to stop sharing the gospel. We're not going to lose heart in the midst of our ministry. You see, to Paul, the ministry of sharing the gospel was more important than anything. Anything that would convince him to slow down, back up, or altogether quit being faithful to the Lord.
He said, yes, I'm going through troubles. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians reveals to us that these were the darkest days of Paul's life. There was a lot of disappointment. There was a lot of despair. But he said, regardless of the struggles, even that downtime in my life is not going to cause me to stop sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And nobody has ever said the Christian life is easy. At least, nobody who really understood the Bible. Nobody's ever promised that there's not going to be heartaches. No one's ever suggested that sharing the gospel and serving in ministry is a piece of cake. Paul himself in chapter 1 of this book suggested that there were moments he was under a lot of pressure. There were moments he was tired. There were moments he was depressed. But with the help of God, he was not about to let those things cause him to lose heart. He said, we have this ministry. We have this ministry, and it's the mercy of God that keeps me going. It's the mercy of God in my life and the mercy that other people need, that no matter what comes into my life or my home, I am going to keep going. I'm not going to lose heart for Jesus. It's causing you to lose heart today. Some of you used to be so faithful. I could look out there every Sunday you were there. I could look out there every Sunday night and you were there, but you've lost heart recently. Some of you, I could guarantee you'd be here to pray with me on Wednesday. And I haven't seen you forever. You're losing heart. Some of you would not leave. You wouldn't let there be any vacant tracks in your car. There would not be any moments where you couldn't reach down in your purse or your pocket and invite somebody to Jesus. But it's been a long time since you've done that. Something in your life has caused you to lose heart. Something has caused you to say, hey, things are just busy. Things are just more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And instead of saying, I'm not going to faint, what's happening is we're fainting. We're losing heart. We used to bellow it out in the choir. We used to be the first to sign up to serve. But something, I don't know what it is. You know what it is. God knows what it is. I don't know what it is, but something in your life's causing you to lose heart. And Paul says, I cannot lose heart in the midst of my ministry. I've received the mercy of God. You and I also, who've discovered and received the love of God in our lives, we can't quit now. Look what's going on in the world. You think because of all that's going on in the world that we need to stop loving and serving God now? Is that the response? Just because the family grows and life gets busier. Listen, my home has never been any more than it is right now. Is it time now to stop being faithful? Is it time now to stop sharing the gospel? No. So much more. I've received this ministry. I can't stop now. We can't quit today. We don't need to lose heart. We don't need to lose heart. We have a ministry. We have a God. We have a salvation. We have a church. We have worship. We have a ministry. Paul said, sure, I'm depressed. The whole church at one point was turning against me. But I can't quit. I can't stop. I can't slow down. I can't back up. And we got to remember that we can't lose heart in the midst of our ministry. Here's the third statement I want you to write down. Would you write this one down? The gospel is hidden from the lost. The gospel is hidden from the lost. Look at it in verse number 3. We'll come back to verse 2 in just a moment, but look at verse 3. He says, but if our gospel be hid, I have that phrase, if our gospel be hid, underlined in my Bible, because it means something. There's an implication here, and it's very clear. And the implication is that to some, the gospel is hidden. It's hard for us to fully recognize that, especially those of us who've grown up in church all of our lives and we've gone to Sunday school and children's church and now we're here as adults. And it's hard for us to grasp the fact that some people have never heard the name of Jesus. It's true. It's hard for us to even think, well, we might, well, okay, I recognize maybe in Honduras or in the Middle East, Iran and Syria and all those places. I'm sure there are people over there that have never heard the name of Jesus. But, I mean, come on, right here in Charlotte. I mean, listen, I could tell you story after story of people who are members of our church today who, when they walked in these doors, they'd never heard the name of Jesus the way that we know the name of Jesus. Now, to us who've believed on it, to us who believed the gospel, well, we know it. We recognize it clearly. The gospel stands out in our hearts as a conviction that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and that he's the only way by which man can be forgiven and redeemed. But that message, in which you and I know clearly, is hidden from a lot of people. There are over 7 billion people in the world today. 2 years ago, a statistic was done, and I don't always place a lot of confidence in statistics, but it was at least apparent enough to help us realize that there's indeed an issue. The statistic read that only 32% of the 7 billion people in the world identify themselves as Christian. 32% of the 7 billion, that's a third of the world's population. Now, keep in mind that nearly half of those include non-gospel believing groups like Catholicism that identify as Christian, but they don't believe in salvation by grace as the Bible clearly teaches. So when they do these statistics, they basically send out these surveys and say, you know, like a census, you know, what faith are you? And you check off Christian, whether you've been to church or not before, or whether you really believe the gospel. You just say, hey, I identify myself as Christian, Buddhist, whatever. And so they assemble them all together, send them back in, and that's where they get these statistics that out of 7 billion people in the world, 32% at least checked off the box that they were Christians. So we recognize that even that has to be a smaller number for true conversions. There's no way that it could really be 32%, just everybody who checks the blank is automatically Christian. Because Jesus even himself said that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God. There are many who identify themselves as Christian that have never put their faith in Jesus Christ for the redemption of their sins. So we don't really know what that number is, but one third of the world, it has to be less than that. It has to be less than a third of the world's population that are Christian. My point is this. That there are people that you know, there are people you see, there are people who we speak with every day of our lives that are blinded to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been hidden from them. They don't believe. They've never received. Many of them have never heard. How in the world does that happen? Well, verse 4 tells us that ultimately the God of this world keeps the lost from seeing their need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at it there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. But what he's saying here is that Satan, and you know, listen, you know this to be true. Satan will use every tool. He'll use every religion. He'll use every pleasure, every philosophy possible to keep the gospel concealed. He'll do whatever he can to hide it. So he hides the gospel within the framework of religion. He hides the gospel within the framework of philosophy. He hides the gospel as long as you're happy and receiving pleasures in life. He makes you find fulfillment in that. So he hides the gospel. And so there's a lot of people who live their lives. They go to church somewhere and they live their life out in pleasure. And they ascribe to this philosophy. While all the while, Satan has used that to keep the gospel hid, and they're blinded to it. They've never heard. They don't know. Nobody has ever said, Jesus loved you and died for you and wants to be your Savior. You see, Satan is happy for man to be anything but a Christian. Hey, Satan wants you to be a church member. He's okay with that. Satan's okay with you being a church goer. He's okay with you even giving money to the church. As long as you're not a Christian. So he does everything he can to hide it. It's like this game with him. Hide and seek. He's over here tucking the gospel away so that you'll never find it. Never hear it. Never know it. That's obviously the most apparent way. We also cannot dismiss the fact that there's also a great sin taking place in many churches. that result in the keeping the lost from knowing and understanding the gospel. And that's where verse 2 comes into play. Look at it, verse 2. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He's saying, listen, there's even some who preach. And Satan is using preachers who are so caught up in all of these relevant topics and culturally accepted terms that they never get to the gospel. And so they promote their churches as a place that may be Baptist, may be whatever. Come. And when you come, they'll tell you how to do this and they'll tell you how to do. All of which, by the way, is not necessarily wrong and right in its place. But the problem is, they're so caught up in motivating people to live their best life now that they never get to the gospel. And Sunday after Sunday, people are filling churches, hearing how good they can make their life without ever hearing that Jesus died for them, rose again for them, and is the only way they're going to experience their best life now. And I don't want to be one of those preachers who get so caught up in these great, exciting, and lucrative topics that I hide the gospel. But that's what's happening. The gospel's being hidden from the lost. It's being hidden in some churches in Charlotte, North Carolina this morning. It's being hid in Honduras through religions, false religions of this world. It's being hidden all over the world because the devil wants you to be anything but a Christian. Here's the last statement in the... Excuse me, not the last, next to last statement. I'm almost done. I'm wrapping up. Here's the fourth statement. The gospel must be preached to the world. You know that. If the gospel's hidden from the lost, then the gospel must be preached unto the world. Verse 5, Paul said, we don't preach ourselves. By the way, that's an entire thought that should be dedicated to one total message. I don't have time to get into all of that. But suffice it to say that self-promotion is the antithesis of biblical ministry. He said, I'm not going to preach myself. This is not about making a name for myself. This is about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a message of self that we preach to the world. It's the message of Jesus that we preach to the world. And it must be preached to the world because they're blinded from the gospel unless they hear the truth. And that's why Jesus said in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our ministry is not complete until we've done all that Jesus has commanded us and going into all the world. Why do we give the missions? Because Jesus said, you and I got to go into all the world. Why do we go and tell others about Jesus? Because Jesus said, we got to go preach the gospel. Why do you want me to invite my coworker to church? Because Jesus said, even your coworker, as much as they get on your nerves, deserve to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must preach it. We must preach it. I developed this in some evangelism training several years ago. I call it the four C's to sharing the gospel. Just write them down. I don't have time to expound on them this morning. Here's the first one. You'll see it there in your notes. It's not on the screen. You'll just have to find it in your notes. The first C is courageously share the gospel. Have boldness. Don't be ashamed. Have courage. Have courage to invite that person with a tract. Courageously share the gospel. Number two, compassionately share the gospel. Now we've seen this made fun of through the years. You know, you go and you beat somebody over the head with a Bible. That's totally inappropriate, not right. The only way that someone's going to be really effective in gospel ministry is when they do it compassionately. Number three, clearly share the gospel. Clearly share the gospel. Don't be vague. Don't emphasize heaven. Don't emphasize hell. Emphasize Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. It's relationship with Jesus. It's not just a one-way ticket out of hell. One pastor said, some of us are guilty of urging people to only receive the benefits of the gospel. Well, we warn them of the perils of ignoring the gospel without ever actually sharing the gospel. Pray this prayer, you'll go to heaven. Well, what prayer? Well, just ask Jesus to come to your heart. Okay, sure. And they're still hidden from the gospel because we've not clearly presented the gospel. Number four, continually share the gospel. Don't stop doing it. Do it every day, every week, every month, every year. Just stay at it. Courageously share it. Compassionately share it. Clearly share it. And continually share it. And here's the final statement I want to give you this morning. Number five. The light that shines in us is the light that should shine from us. The light that shines in us is the light that should shine from us. That's what he says in verse 6. Notice it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He talks about creation there. The God who commanded the world to be created, light out of darkness, that same God, that same light hath shined in our hearts. For what purpose? Look at it. Don't stop reading it. It's shining in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The light that shines in us is the light that should shine from us. The light that gave us life is the same light that we use to give life to those who are seeking truth about the gospel. That's where Paul places the emphasis. The light is shined in so the light can go forth. The light that shines in our hearts is the same lights that you and I are to give. We're to give the light. Give the light. And that's what Paul is comparing here. He's comparing salvation of the lost to the creation of the world. As God spoke light into the world to form a new creation, he says God also speaks light into the lost so that he once again can form a new creature in the image of his son, Jesus Christ. How are they going to get that light? We got to give it. We got to give the light. And if we were in a dark room, if the power failed and we didn't have stained glass windows, my illustration is not good here, but let's just say we couldn't see here, then we would be getting our phones out and we'd be turning the light. Why? Because if it's dark around us, I've got to be able to see. Why in the world is the dark world around us headed for a devil's hell and we're not saying, here's the light, here's Jesus, here's the gospel. The light is shone in me. Now it's going to shine from me unto you. That's what Paul was saying. That light, by the way, he says, here's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the light we must shine. Not come hear my preacher, not come hear my choir. Not come experience my church. No, come learn about Jesus. Come hear Jesus. Come see Jesus. The light is Jesus, and the light that shines in us is the light that should shine from us. Paul said, we have this ministry. It's our ministry. It's your ministry. It's my ministry. Together, as we labor, we have a ministry. It's the ministry of giving the light of the gospel. And we can't quit. We can't slack up. We can't back up. We can't lose our faithfulness. We can't faint. We have to be motivated by the mercy that's in our lives to keep on sharing the light, to keep giving the gospel, because there are people, believe it or not, there are people in your neighborhood, people you work with, people in your family that have never heard a clear explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for the light to affect them, it has to shine from us. We have a ministry. I'm thankful we have a ministry. Because were it not for this ministry, then you and I would have never heard the gospel of Jesus. But there was somebody who loved you enough. There was someone who understood this message enough. Maybe it was a dad, a mom, a preacher, a youth pastor, Sunday school teacher, a co-worker, who said, I'm going to let the light that shines in me shine from me. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And you heard the gospel and you believed it. And here you sit today, a rewarder of those who had a ministry. Now it's time that we do our part and say, I too have a ministry. And there's someone out there just like me that needs to hear the gospel. So I'm not going to quit. I'm going to fight as much as Satan is fighting. As much as he's blinding, I'm going to reveal. And I'm going to let the light that shines in me shine from me.